Here we go. Hour three of the G-Bag Nation. CY is coming up in under 20 minutes. We'll have the Chris Young Show here on your home of the Rangers. Stephen Jones chatting this morning with assembled media at the league meetings in it's Palm Springs, right, Brian?
Yeah, the Breakers in Palm Beach.
Okay.
Not Palm Springs, Palm Beach.
Palm Beach.
Palm Beach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Important clarification there. Appreciate that from Broadus.
One on the West Coast, one on the East Coast.
Right on. Okay, so we do have Rangers baseball coming up at 5 o'clock. They're in Cincinnati to take on the Reds. Dak's going to have limitations, apparently. Steven's saying he's doing great, very thrilled with where he is, and I know trainers are too. I feel like Dak's doing a hell of a job, but we'll have some limitations in the off-season program. Last season, it was the boot. You know, this year, obviously, coming up back from a significant injury. I think it's notable, you know, you're going to be 7 months removed from surgery by the time OTAs are over, and he's going to be limited throughout this deal. I just wonder how much of 2023 near MVP Dak we're still going to get.
Probably not a lot.
Not a lot. Wow.
Well, okay. I mean, in a way of mobility and stuff like that until maybe, you know, but I mean, I physically have seen him with my own eyes here in the last 2 weeks. You know, he looks good. You know, Dak is always going to be in shape and he looks good, that part of it. But, you know, if there's questions, I know that him and Britt Brown, they will work to the point where it's, you know, they're both exhausted and, you know, he'll be ready. But I just have questions about the mobility. He physically looks fine, though. Like I said, I'm walking to the studio. I look out on the field. He's out there working with Britt.
There's some video out as well, and it corroborates your report.
Yeah.
I mean, Ernie, the Cowboys fan, he's got a bunch of followers. He tweets a lot.
He's a ball sacker.
Okay, he's a ball sacker because he tweeted that Dak was down 33 pounds to 205, and I was like, I don't know if he's that lean.
He is slim, but we've seen him go
slimming down. Yeah,
slim way down.
He's been slimming down the last few years. There's no way he's lost 30 plus pounds.
No, I could see
he might
maybe
be in a situation where to help his mobility, like I was talking with Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
Get as light as possible, not have to carry extra weight around while you're running around.
There's nothing that's going to make you 22 years old again.
No,
but. As you get older, that's one thing you can do to mitigate that for sure. Mm-hmm. Steve also said, talking about Jake Ferguson and Deron Bland, hinting about the possibility of a new deal for these guys. And that'd be cool. I think both are pretty key. I'd like a better tight end, but Jake Ferguson is very sufficient. Pardon me, got a hiccup situation.
No, I was wondering if it was burps or hiccups because you're not doing the Diet Coke thing right now. So I was like, it can't be the burps.
Little hiccup situation.
The hiccups can really take you down a bad path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know.
Especially they never stop.
I don't think it's a repetitive hiccup situation. I think that was just a rogue hiccup. Okay, Steven, on Cowboys contracts, we've done them early before and we've waited till the end. A lot of it is the negotiation itself. Some of them take longer. We put zero credibility or credence into people saying that we wait too long. So this ain't changing anytime soon.
We had this discussion today on our show.
Love of the Star podcast.
Love of the Star.
Odyssey podcast went a little bit too long today.
No, it's okay. It was good content. Eric and I were talking about this, and tell me what you think, Dawson. The Cowboys have a poor understanding of what's going on around the league when it comes to other contracts.
Yes.
That they do not have a vision of what potentially. Now, we could say the Myles Garrett one caught us all by surprise. But
even to be fair to that, we thought he was going to be traded. And if he did, he was going to get a new deal with that team.
Sure.
So one way or another, Myles Garrett was going to get an extension. But the amount of increase, I think, was surprising. Going from $35 million to now resetting it at $40 million a year.
Yeah. And our guy at the Raiders?
Crosby.
Do we not have a pulse on what's going on around the league? And is that keeping the Cowboys from? Now, they got a favorable agent. They have a great relationship with Osa's guy. Got that done. It was probably below market value. But I wonder if they lack some understanding of what's brewing with other teams and other agents that they can maybe get ahead of.
It's either a lack of knowing or lack of caring. You know,
right.
They don't have a boss saying, hey, you were late on that deal that cost me $6 million. They are the boss.
Yeah. Yeah. I think two things are true. The Cowboys are not synonymous with being forward thinking in any aspect of their organization, other than maybe like the business side of things. But when it comes to building your football team, building the right coaching staff, what type of players do you want? What philosophies do you want to have? They've been Stone Age for a long time.
Yeah.
It takes them a long time to get with the times. But then there's also the element of not caring. I think they love the idea that we're still talking about Micah Parsons and his contract right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. They get good value out of
they it. They love that we talked about CeeDee Lamb's contract all offseason. They love that we're talking about Dak's contract all offseason. And it's funny for Stephen Jones to be the one saying that, no, that's not us. We don't stand for the narrative that we wait too long. When he's the one who said after the first time they got the first Dak deal done, he's like, yeah, I regret that we waited so long on this one.
Yeah, it's tough to watch at times. Let's take just a little bit of a cool down here. CY's coming up in about 10, 12 minutes. Chief has a sports hodgepodge.
Yeah, absolutely. I did want to acknowledge Nick Harris pointing out to us, and he's there at in Palm Beach. Tomorrow, Brian Schottenheimer will talk. So we're hearing a lot of quotes from coaches and stuff, meeting with the media. His time is tomorrow, 6:45 to 7:15 our time. So sweet. I'm sure Sean and RJ in real time tomorrow will have some Brian Schottenheimer quotes going around. So
that's in the morning, right? They're an hour ahead.
Okay. Tomorrow morning. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Now, elsewhere, I did want to acknowledge I had duck eggs for the first time this weekend. Just want to throw that out there.
How'd it go?
Had some duck eggs. They're good. I mean, you really wouldn't know the difference. Maybe a touch fluffier. Obviously, you would know the difference when looking at it before you cook it. The actual egg itself, for the most part, is probably like 1.5 to 2 times the size of your run-of-the-mill chicken egg.
Oh, cool.
But otherwise, yeah, we were at the farmer's market. There was a new little pop-up shop that had all sorts of different, I mean, they had quail eggs, goose eggs.
A little bit smaller. Quail, a lot smaller, right?
The goose eggs were the biggest ones.
Yeah.
Those things are like really big. But the duck eggs were awesome.
What was the one we needed to reenact the Rangers?
Ostrich.
We're looking for the ostrich.
That's like, no, what, six yolks on that thing?
Yeah, that would probably make the goose egg look like a chicken egg. The ostrich egg is huge. But duck eggs are pretty tasty, I would say. Just got this news in. The NFL just scrambled. Scramble them up.
Way to be heroic there.
I'm a scramble them up
guy.
Way
to make it worthwhile.
We're a big egg taco family. So the cheesier and the eggier, the better.
So we just did the scrambled eggs with the breakfast tacos?
Was I supposed to do a duck omelet? Is that?
I thought maybe you'd want to high-end that thing if you're trying to, you know, I'm watchdogging you.
You are. I don't know that I've ever actually even, I don't even know if I could say I've actually made an omelet.
Not that hard.
I'm pretty much just scrambling. If I got stuff to throw in it, then I'll just throw in it to the scrambled, you know?
Yeah, I like that too.
Way easier.
Yeah.
I make omelets every day.
I do. I like omelets.
He's a professional. You know. And I like omelets as well. I'll order the hell out of it. Watch me order an omelet.
I think if you're getting an exotic egg, though, there might be something to say for just, especially the first time, just trying out the egg.
Yeah.
You know.
And then I went with the sunny side up version last night for dinner.
Wow.
Just tearing it up. Because we overdid it with the eggs. Like, my wife had gone to the grocery store, like, got it. Eggs.
Kind of
I went to the farmer's market and got some eggs. It was like, crap, I'm going to be eating eggs now for every single meal so that we can make good on the fact that we have so many.
So you're giving up the ground beef for the eggs?
It's more of a pairing with situation. Last night, bowl of ground beef with some sunny side up duck eggs. Mm. It was nice, dude. Now, the NFL is updating its uniform policy, allowing teams to wear throwback or alternate uniforms up to 4 times per season. Mm. I believe it was just at 2.
Cha-ching.
So yeah. The throwbacks are incredible for pretty much every team. Their throwbacks look cooler than their current uniform. So the more throwbacks, the better, I say. Deion Sanders gets the good news with the Fatty Fatty Boomba contract, securing him in Boulder for many years to come. But he got the bad news on the spring game idea. He was trying to do the joint spring game stuff. Syracuse was ready to get involved, but the NCAA has said, nope, not allowed to do that.
Frowning on joint spring games, huh?
Yeah, and honestly, their reasoning, it says, like, the timing
didn't
of the...
Did somebody from the SWAC want to play him, though? One of the coaches from one of the
SWAC
schools want to play? Did you hear that?
I didn't hear about the SWAC stuff, but I remember he had beef with one of those SWAC coaches when he was at Jackson State, so maybe the... Maybe that coach,
like a first year coach, wanted to come to Boulder and play. I forgot which team it was. Dawson, you got it pulled up there.
All I know is the NCAA has said not allowed. Okay. One of the three reasons is the potential academic impact associated with student athletes missing class time to participate in practice activities. So they're still throwing that one out there.
As we just roll through the Final Four.
That's right. Andrew Luck, the general manager for Stanford football, has his interim coach.
Frank Reich.
Yeah, Frank Reich, former Colts head coach, Panthers head coach, where he was a disaster. He was an offensive coordinator for the Eagles when they won a Super Bowl, though, with Carson, or I guess with Nick Foles.
He coached Luck, though, somewhere, right? Colts?
Yeah, with the Colts. So they have the familiarity, and I guess Frank Reich, old man,
needs a gig.
Been there, done that. I don't even think he needs it. I think he's just down to, like, collect a paycheck. 1 year, he knows that he's just kind of setting the table for the next guy to come in. Hmm. But a couple of people were thinking that might be Mike McCarthy stepping in there to just do the one-year veteran coach interim, let's go try out the college thing, because why not? But it ends up being Frank Reich who has the connection to Andrew Luck.
Go figure.
I love that he's just so willing to be like, yeah, no problem. 1 year deal. I'm cool. We're in. We're out. And now we're off to CY.
Yes, sir. We are. Thank you, Chief. Okay. As he said, the Rangers president of baseball operations is set to join us. How is Josh Jung's neck, amongst other things, and what was most exciting for CY after a triumphant a series win over the Red Sox over the weekend? That's coming up next year. It's the G-Back Nation. Yeah, buddies, welcome back. It's the G-Back Nation here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Great opening weekend. They take 3 of 4 as CY is set to join us. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas, it's the Frankels. And the Chris Jung Show is brought to you by Anheuser-Busch and by PlayScore. Nice job by Zach Wolchuk today, filling in with the KNC masterpiece there. As Hagee was out, still coming back from his weekend, going to watch Duke qualify for the Final Four, historic. And we got CY here, Ross? We got him yet? No? Okay, CY is going to join you here in just a couple of minutes. DeGrom was so great yesterday. I want to say, I think the idea of having him just go 5 innings and 75 pitches, whatever happens first, that's a phenomenal idea if you ask me. You know, I don't know how much they should increase from here. It'll be interesting to see what their plan is. I definitely don't want to go over 100. I'll keep it under 90.
He's just so efficient with his pitches, though.
Yeah, if you can be that efficient, then he just that's it. Fine. I five mean, innings get you out of there.
He rarely misses. He rarely walks people. I mean, my gosh, you give him a pitch count, he's going to probably come 2 pitches under it.
Hasn't thrown many innings the last 2 years. Yeah. You know, so, until October, I want you pitching with minimal fatigue. Chief, you know this, like in the chain of, you know, the body, You get injuries when the chain starts getting weaker at certain points. Let's just keep them 100% strong.
Yeah. You start to overcompensate a little bit. I do believe from everything, like when we were in surprise and we're talking to people, it does feel like they're going to be extremely cautious with the way they go about it. And they want them to start as much as possible, but they're thinking big picture on the season. So I think they will limit him as much as they can. And then you hope that he's just really clicking into gear come September, October. Bang.
That's exactly it, because you have him and Eovaldi. You know how clutch Eovaldi is. Like in the regular season, he is a damn good pitcher. Postseason starts, the dude's an ace. Mm-hmm. You know, so you get 4 out of the 7 games with those two guys. Brian, I know you might be thinking of me as a flip-flopper right now. No. On Friday, I said I'm calling 1-800-BULLPEN. Mm. I'm chilling on the bullpen right now. My Rangers hot take of the day is I think they could beat the Dodgers in the World Series if you just keep that. DeGrom healthy.
I saw you tweet that. 7 games, I think you said that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole weekend of feeling good about the pitching staff and the bullpen and things like that, man, I just love for Rocker to go out there and get, you know, just go out there and be who I believe he can be. Yeah, and I know that's like, you know,
rookie of the year.
Yeah, the guy that, like, you know, when we watched him, I mean, I know that Wolchuk and I walked down there before we're in the spring training games and watched him warm up and stuff, and I was like, gosh dang, this guy, you can see why he could have success. you know, the body type and all that, the location of like the, you know, the fastball stuff, the other pitches he has. I mean, it just, I just want him to have that success right off the jump.
Well, there is one highly respected baseball analyst in Tom Verducci who thinks the Rangers are going to have a tremendous amount of success. They take down the Red Sox 3-1. And here's Tom on MLB Network talking about your ball club.
However, this guy could be a real wild card. If Jacob deGrom is the superhero of years past, is that enough to put the Rangers up top?
Not even a superhero. Just give me 20 to 25 starts, okay? Because you know he's going to be good as long as he's healthy. I'm banking on Texas winning this division because of a healthier deGrom. Don't forget, you've got Jack Leiter, you've got Kumar Rocker, you've got Tyler Mahle. They have pitchers who have incredibly high upsides. Just got to get them to the mound enough. Offense was brutal last year. You don't realize this. Last year against fastballs, they were the worst slugging team in baseball. The Texas Rangers. You know, they add Jock Peterson. They add Jake Berger. This team, a bounce back from Adolis Garcia. To me, they're back. They're full on back. I like the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, Tom and I are in agreement on this one. I think for me, there's not another team in that division that has a higher ceiling than the Rangers. Their bullpen is the one major question mark, but they've got a manager in Boch that actually does wonders, putting guys in role, gaining confidence in the bullpen, getting that connected chain in place. Thought Chris Young had a great offseason in his acquisition. And to me, it's Corey Seager is the key because he's got the MVP ability. If he comes back and performs the way he did when they won the World Series, I just think it lifts the water in that boat for everybody else.
They mentioned the fastball stuff. How about this stat from Sands that I saw on Rangers Twitter earlier? The Rangers have only struck out 15% of the time through four games, well below the 22% league average. They are the third lowest in Major League Baseball. Can you hit that fastball, and can you be patient waiting for it? I think that's a great sign. It is early in the season. Pregame's coming up at 5 o'clock. Now, how long's Josh Young going to be out? We don't know. No. But I'm sorry to say this, Brian. You want another hot take? We're not headed for another contract. You know, I think he'll have a nice career. Somebody's going to pay the talent, but investing in his track record right now is tough, and I really hope he goes out and changes my mind, but I'm not going to reconsider him until like next year. Go out and be healthy through 2026 and we can talk about it. What do you think?
No, I want to say, no, you're full of it right there, but I can't. You know, every time that I feel like that, like, hey, okay, we're around the corner here. You know, we've got over the hump. Here we go. You know, and then you have a healthy spring, and then you get into the season, and he was making a play. I mean, it was a damn good play, but now all of a sudden you get the neck issues and stuff like that. But it seems like he just cannot get away from injuries, and whether he get hit by a pitch, making a play, you know, something always seems to happen to him. You know, I hope that's not his career, but boy, that's sure the way it's trending right now.
Yeah, it is. You know, and you cannot be in denial about those things. I do wonder if maybe our guy had a blind spot when it came to giving Jacob deGrom that big money. You cannot have another big mistake like that on an injury-prone player. Now, sometimes guys are young and it takes them a while to figure out. They could be 26, 27 years old before they figure out what it takes for them to stay healthy. But at the same time, some guys just never can. You know, some guys' bodies are just built in a way that something's always breaking down. So we'll hope for the best there for Josh Young. But boy, we're gonna have to draft and develop some new stars.
Yeah,
you had Evan Carter and Josh Young on this trajectory. Now you got to be looking at it like you can't be sure month to month really how available two of your best young players are going to be, and that is a kick between the legs here for this entire franchise.
It is, because you get the tease from Josh Young too every time he's out there, like he makes an impact. I mean, the glove at third base is really outstanding, and the bat, of course, speaks for itself. Like that was a gaping hole in the lineup last year when he was out. He's got to string together some successful, healthy months here to get that confidence back, because it's not an indictment on the player at all. The talent is so there and in your face. It's just, and some of it's been a little bit unlucky. Yeah. I mean, I think he slept wrong, and that's what started the neck aggravation, and then he ended up straining it more in the game.
Yeah.
It's just little goofy crap. Hit by a pitch, strained calf last year in spring training. It's nagging crap, though.
Yeah, the one saving grace is that you have a silver slugger utility player in Josh Smith.
No doubt.
And
no
that
doubt.
And that's the one thing that gives you hope that you're not going to completely fall apart here early in the season at that position, and you'll be able to hopefully get some at bats that are quality at bats. And you know, Josh Smith can surely do that. He's proven that. He did last year.
It's that depth that they talked about and they addressed in the offseason that gives you the opportunity to withstand injuries like that. And it's time now for the Chris Young Show here on The Fan, brought to you by Anheuser-Busch and PlayScore. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, guys. I'm well. How are you all?
We're doing outstanding. We're excited, coming out of a successful opening series like that. What impressed you the most?
Well, I think just the fight and the determination of the team. I mean, there was some adversity that we faced and some very close games, some tough situations, and the guys found a way to win. And I think ultimately that's a great identity to have. And my hope is that continues, that we go to Cincinnati and we stay hot there and we continue to play good baseball. And at some point the offense will get going. So, all in all, I liked what I saw, encouraged by it. But there are some things we're going to have to clean up. We're going to have to, we're going to have to pitch a little bit better. At least one of those games, one of those starts where Mally struggled a little bit. But we know he's much better than what he showed in that game. And then offensively, I think we're going to score, we're going to score more than we did this series. So, all in all, it was a great start. I'm encouraged, but I know that there's a long way to go and, we'll keep moving forward.
You mentioned the Mally start and the bullpen coming in and getting a great win. What did you think about the bullpen throughout that first series?
Well, really, minus the one pitch from Jackson that led to the three-run homer, I thought the bullpen was fantastic. I mean, these guys, they picked us up. We were in a difficult situation with Mally and that start, and the guys picked us up. They came in. They weren't afraid. They each did their job, and they took the ball when they were asked in different roles. And, you talk about the game where Mally came out early and what Jacob Webb did, and then Hobie Milner, and then Garabito, then turning it over kind of the back end of the bullpen was really, really impressive. There were a number of players in that game that you could argue were the player of the game, and so it was just a great team win.
Hey, CY, I just want to say this. My Chicago White Sox friends want me to thank you for developing Will Venable as a manager.
Well, I the credit is shared amongst many people, and I'm just happy that Will came here and had a great experience, and that in some way we have prepared him to go be successful and be a leader within the game. And it's really, really important. It's a goal for everybody in our organization that they realize their dreams and their potential, whether it's internally with the Rangers or that they go off and do good, great things outside our organization, but that they were developed in some capacity. And so I take that as a very high compliment. Thank you.
Bookending a series with Nathan Eovaldi and then closing it down with Jacob deGrom has to make you sleep well at night. And both those guys were extremely impressive. The Eovaldi curveball on opening day, and then it was the changeup for deGrom yesterday. Like, these guys, the repertoire is just unbelievable.
They're just so talented, and they continue to evolve and find ways to get better and compete. And it's just really impressive, and that's what makes them great. It's why they've pitched so long. They've had so much success. And my guess is that there's another version of both of these players that we're going to see over the next few years, that something else will develop. They'll find a new pitch, something different that will allow them to continue the success they've had thus far in their career. And the biggest thing is just keeping them healthy and on the field.
What's the plan, speaking of that, for DeGrom and innings moving forward?
Well, I think we'll manage it over the course of the year, and there are going to be games where we let him go a little bit. A game like yesterday, where he was at, 70-something pitches, and we took him out. There'll be games where I think we extend him into the sixth, maybe even the seventh, and there'll be games maybe where we even shorten him down to four, depending on the results, the stress levels. Is he pitching on 4 days rest, 5 days rest, 6 days rest, stuff like that? Ultimately, we don't have a hard cap, so to speak. Jacob has had a pretty significant workload in the past, so I think that we're confident that his body and his arm and his mind can handle it. It's not like a rookie who's never done it before. However, we just know that he's so important to our team and the success this year that we're going to need to really play it, cautiously over the course of the season. And our hope is that we have him fresh come October, and we're in a position where, we're playing October baseball.
CY, can you walk us through, obviously with Jonas struggling last year, and then you go out and you get Higgy. Was that something that you made a determination of during the season last year, Or was that something in the off season that you said you had to be able to address?
No, I mean, it really, I think over the course of the year, last year, we saw that it was a spot where we struggled, where Jonah, you know, just didn't have his best season, which is understandable. Guys don't, not every year is your best year. Right? Sure. You know, I tell my kids that when they have a bad game. Not every game can be your best game. Otherwise, you'd never have a best game. So, you know, not every year is going to be a career year. We understand that. But we also knew that, you know, if Jonah gets hurt or doesn't bounce back, we need to have an option there. And last year, we didn't have that. We just didn't have a good enough replacement level a player kind of backing up Jonah, and it hurt us. And we felt like going into this offseason, we wanted to have, you know, one of the best catching tandems in the big leagues. And that was why we targeted Higgy. It was a great job by our scouting, professional scouting group, our R&D group. He just fit on a number of levels, and he was the primary target, and I think the first free agent we signed.
CY, how quickly can we get one of these Yankees torpedo bats in the hands of Adolis Garcia?
Well, I'm not. You could make an argument he doesn't need it right now the way he's hitting, but you know, but he. It's been impressive seeing him come out swinging it like this. I know how hard he worked this offseason. I know how hard last year was on him mentally, and really, what he means to our club in terms of his success, his performance, his energy is contagious. And he keeps swinging it like this, we're gonna have a great year as a team. It's really fun to watch.
How interested are you in this torpedo bat situation? How familiar are you with it? Because from a fan standpoint, this was pretty surprising with what the Yankees have done with it. Might the Rangers get some of these bats?
Yes, the answer is yes, and we have had some. You know, we leave it to our players individually to determine what they feel most comfortable with, and so, but we are on it. We've had conversations with the company that manufactures these. And, you know, ultimately, we want to give our players every competitive advantage. And if this is indeed one, certainly we're gonna make sure that our players have access to it.
Just don't torpedo the batting average, right? Not quite sure what the torpedo is doing.
You only hear about the players across the league that are doing well with them. You don't hear about the ones who are struggling with them. So we need to research that too. But there was one player that came out and said he went 1-for-8 with it. And I thought, okay, well, all right, not everybody's hitting homers with them.
Well, what can you tell us about Josh Jung? Is he going to be all right?
Yeah, I'm waiting on a medical update today. He was seeing a doctor today just to make sure. You know, the original exams did not show anything structurally. So we anticipate really that he'll be ready at the end of this 10-day period. You know, you never know. The body's a tricky thing, and we'll certainly continue to monitor him. But I think over the next couple of days, we expect him to turn the corner. We probably just pushed it a little too fast and didn't get it right. And then he had the one diving play, and it kind of jarred it. I think this time it's prudent to get it right and make sure he's 100% before we put him back in competition.
See, why you have a lot of faith in Josh Smith, and you know, and even though he was struggling at times, you guys stuck with him, and it has to be just a comfort to know that you have depth like that. If in fact, with you know, with Young going down, that you can plug somebody in like that, and it's a silver slugger type of a player.
Well, completely. I mean, Josh had a tremendous first half last year. You know, a little bit in the second half struggled, but that's normal. But yes, to have that level, that caliber of player to play short or third base when Corey or JJ needs a break. And, you know, the hope is that we get Zeke Duran back to his best self too. You know, if you have Zeke and Smitty, you know, playing the left side, it's not too much of a fall off, but you know, from Corey to JJ. And I think that's our goal, is that we got to get Zeke going. We feel great with Smitty. Over the course of the year, these guys are going to need breaks, much less they're going to get injured. And so we need to make sure that we protect them and have, you know, really solid, good depth options behind them.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for your time. We look forward to this season in a big way. Give them hell. We'll be pulling for you.
Guys, thanks so much. Great great first weekend, and thanks for all the support. We'll see you soon.
Salute. There he goes. CY Show brought to you by Anheuser-Busch and PlayScore. One more segment before the pregame coming up at 5, Eric.
Around the bases, let's prep our bodies for Rocker versus Singer, plus your baseball stat of the day next to the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. Rangers baseball pregame coming up at 5 o'clock. Here's the Chief with a proper round tripper.
We got a bit of a musical pitching matchup tonight.
Rocker and Singer.
Rocker versus Singer. Now, I don't know much about this Singer character other than the fact that he's making his first start of the season and he's a right-handed pitcher, which I think bodes well for the lineup today. The lineup that features Josh Smith in at third after his bang into the wall.
Headbanger's ball.
Chasing down a foul ball over the weekend. But he's back, so that's good. In place of Josh Young, Corey Seager will be at shortstop. And then it's Semien leading off, of course, Seager, Langford, Jock Peterson, DHing today.
Sorry.
Adolis Garcia killing it. And then Jake Berger at first base had a couple of hiccups, but for the most part, been pretty dang good. And then Hyman Tavares. So that's your Rangers lineup today as Kamar Rocker gets his first start. And we're all obviously hoping for the best when it comes to Rocker. Didn't have quite the spring that we were hoping for, but I did notice the report from All City Dallas and the Rangers coverage that they have, and it was Jeff Wilson on the report. He said the Rangers believe that Kamar Rocker, when the lights come on in a big building, lots of people, big stage, he will thrive
Gamer.
In that atmosphere. They genuinely believe that's an element he has. Yes, he's basically a gamer, and we didn't get a chance to get into that necessarily with CY, but hopefully that's the case about Rocker. He struggled a little bit in spring training, got a little bit better as it went on, but I found it interesting Jared Sandler talking about like the offseason plan for Rocker was less about his pitching techniques and more about just getting physically prepared, whereas Leiter was more dialed on refining his arsenal, making sure that he was able to make the big league roster to, you know, after spring training.
Yeah.
So they had two different game plans and Leiter's has proven to be better, but hopefully when the lights come on tonight, Rocker's ready to rock and roll.
It's another part of being a pro is learning what it takes for you to get right. And I think this was one of those Rocker off seasons. What he called the what not to do
off season.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, won't do that again. I want to stay dialed and not rusty.
He was just focused on eating the right things and lifting,
I'm gonna stay in shape.
Lifting the right weights, not really worried about how he was actually pitching the baseball. So it was a bold decision, and hopefully it all culminates in a dominant first start.
Who was the quarterback? Remember that one year the quarterback showed up at Cowboys camp that hadn't thrown all offseason because he wanted to be fresh? And he threw
That's
one
real?
Day. Yeah, and then he was so – was it Dustin Vaughn?
Maybe Dustin, you might be right about that. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Babe making fun of him. It was hilarious. That was too sore to throw after the first.
that doesn't make much sense, dude.
Yeah.
That is funny.
It's unbelievable. These guys can't get better advice, though.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe there is a track record of that working for certain guys, but I don't know that that's necessarily the best play unless you are just so ridiculously out of shape that it's like we're starting with square one here.
Yeah, I mean, we're a professional operation. Can we give these guys a good game plan and maybe check in with them regularly?
The torpedo bats worked.
You're fascinated with this, aren't you?
I am. I love it, dude. The Yankees.
Nobody loves a bit more than you.
I still don't even understand.
This is real. This is revolutionizing the sport of baseball. This is more homers, man. This is more dongs. This is exactly what you wanted.
Our executive vice president of baseball operations just told you, dude, went 1-for-8, and you're fascinated by it.
It doesn't mean you're going to be able to hit the... It doesn't make you a better hitter necessarily. You still have to be able to know, you know, you still have to be able to hit the ball.
Yeah.
But when you do hit the ball, it should do
it's
more
physics,
damage.
Brian. Okay.
Physics.
Yeah.
32 runs in the last two games for the Yankees. They put up a 20 spot on Saturday, a 12 spot yesterday. 9 dongs, a franchise
Everybody
record for the Yankees on Saturday.
Bat.
Everybody's going to have a torpedo bat.
It helps your power.
Everybody needs a torpedo bat now.
My only issue is the name sucks. Why would you want a torpedo anywhere near a hitting operation? We're not trying to pound it into the ground. Okay? We need a ballistic bat.
The ballistic bat, okay, something like that. I'm cool. I mean, we're still workshopping these things. We're just getting it off the ground.
Yeah.
But I'm here for the bat one way or another. The Dodgers.
Patriot missile bat.
Yeah. What was it again?
Patriot missile bat.
There you go.
Yeah.
You need to throw it back to Dawson. We got to get out of here.
Okay,
we got 40 seconds.
Back to Gavin Dawson
live in
studio.
Can you get that content in there?
It was just a Dodgers stat of the day.
More torpedo
back. No team has done what the Dodgers have done.
Yeah.
In the first five games of the season, no team's ever done that.
Well, thanks to Ross Lebensky here in the G-Bag Nation. It was a terrific 3 hours of sports radio production from Lebensky. Thanks to Eric Chiafalo. Wolchuk, his nosebleed brother, will be back tomorrow to join us for another three-hour tour here at G-Bag Nation. Rangers baseball up next. They're taking on the Reds. Thanks to Brian Broaddus as well. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, Rangers Player Show 320. You're going home with the G-Bag Nation, Eddies.